or a series of character sketches? What if the Bible were a collection of poems? What if the Bible were a historical comparison of the Jewish nation and all those that opposed it? What if the Bible were a story about a good person with good intentions for social change? The history of man is some examples of people that were called and changed after hearing the word of God. Isaiah was one of them. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah said, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me." So I'd like to look at Have you ever had technology not work for you? Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you. All right. So let me try this again. Well, is this not on? It says it's on. Let me try it again. Could you guys change it for me? That'd be good. All right. I'll just give you the high sign, and since this isn't working, we'll do it that way. Getting ready for this year, I've looked at a number of passages of Scripture, and I've got about 121 pages of Bible verses just with these few phrases. The Lord said, 144 verses. The word of the Lord, 255 verses. The Lord said, 221 verses. Quote, saith the Lord, 815 verses. Jesus said, 254 verses. So when I do the math, that's 1,689 verses. Divided by all the verses in the Bible, 31,000 roughly, that's about 5.5%. of the Bible where it specifically says God spoke. Now, there's a lot of other speaking in the Bible, of course. But what I'd like to do, if you guys could give me the next slide, is I'd like to look at the ever-speaking voice. And I'd like to, I think you went too far. Nope, I went too far. Tozer said, how many of you have ever heard of Tozer? He wrote a book, he wrote a lot of books, but I got this quote from The Pursuit of God. He said, God's word in the Bible can have power only because it corresponds to God's word in the universe. It is the present voice which makes the written word all powerful. That's an interesting quote, and I'd like to be able to expand on that if you'd give me the next slide. We're going to look at four things. We're going to look at the ever-speaking voice as an introduction. I'm going to give you some examples. I'm going to give you some warnings. And then I hope and pray we will give you some application. First. Okay. Introduction. Is that where we are? There we are. John chapter 1. Very familiar passage. We've looked at this passage of Scripture. We've talked about the Logos. We've talked about the Word. So before the world was, the Word was. John 1 says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So we have the Word of God, the thoughts of God, the communication of God before the world was. So most of us are not Greek scholars, but the word logos in Greek culture and Greek philosophy is like the word of the universe, because it is what some people strove after when they went to college. Some people are actually looking for truth when education used to direct us in that direction. And part of that truth finding was going through a reasonable pursuit of finding what is true and what is good and what is beautiful. Now, if you know anything about classic education, those three words are key. So in the beginning, before the world, was the Word. God, and I don't know how to put it in any other words, but the ever-present, the ever-thinking, the ever-omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God was there. At what point he decided to create, I'm not sure. Next slide. So we have the power of the Word in creation. Let me just give you two verses. Psalm 33:6 says, "By the word of the Lord, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made." Oh, and by the way, "and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth." So the heavens were made. That doesn't mean one heaven. Heavens with an S means plural. So there's more than one. The birds fly in one. Man should not fly naturally in that one. If you try, you will harm yourself. And there's the heaven where the cosmos is. And there's the place where God is as well. Psalm 33 verse 9 follows up on this and says, "For he spake and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." And we could look at a lot of other passages of Scripture that support that. Give me the next slide. So we're looking at the introduction to the ever-speaking voice. You're familiar with Genesis 1, verse 3, "And God said," verse 6, "And God said," verse 9, "And God said," verse 11, "And God said," verse 14, "And God said," verse 20, "And God said," verse 24, "And God said," verse 26, "And God said," verse 29, "And God said." When he did so, things happened when he said so. So when God said so, something happened because he did say so. Therefore, as we look at the ever-speaking voice, I'd like to give you some other examples that might be a little more personal other than globally creative. So you can give me the next slide. Let's look at the voice of the Lord or the voice of God in the life of Adam and Eve. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 that the voice of God walked. That's a strange thought, isn't it? The voice of God walked. How did that happen? "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden." Now, when I was a kid, I used to draw cartoons. And when I was younger, my cartoon figures were stick figures. How many of you have ever drawn a stick figure? Raise your hand. All right, so we started with stick figures. And some of us improved. Some of us haven't. Some of us were still there. And I don't know how you would draw this. The voice of God walking in the garden. I'm not sure what that looks like. That's what the Word of God says. So I give that to you as a thought because there are other examples. And it seems like when you're walking together with someone, you're having a partnership. You're getting along. You're communicating. There's back and forth conversation. "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So the voice of God walking in the garden is equated to the presence of God among them. Think about that. Let's pause for a moment. The voice of God walking is similar to the presence of God among you. What does that mean in your Bible reading? The voice of God walking with you is equivalent to the presence of God among you. Next slide. My Bible says the voice of God whispered. 1 Kings chapter 19, if you turn there quickly. You know the story. Elijah, one of the most powerful and influential prophets of the day, had a confrontation with the prophets of Baal. And in the previous chapter, there's a spiritual confrontation between the people of God that want to follow the world and the prophet of God who wants to move the people in favor with the Lord. Human nature wants to go on the lazy river and just cruise on down the stream. God wants us to go against the stream. God wants us to become, I don't want to use the word better. God wants us to become deader so that he can do the work through us. So here Elijah confronts these prophets of Baal. You know the story. He prays a prayer of like 64 words and the fire of God comes down. Licks up the wood, licks up the rock, licks up the water. The sacrifice is gone. Then Jezebel arrives. Of course, Jezebel is the queen of Ahab. I'm not going to go there. But Jezebel would be the perfect epitome of a woman who's rebellious toward God. Do you know anybody who's named their daughter Jezebel? Anybody has ever met a Jezebel? Ever? Why is that, I wonder? That's a thought. So Elijah, being threatened by the queen, which, of course, we know is the most powerful person in the land at the time, Elijah goes on a hike. And he ends up away from Jerusalem. He left his servant, an angel fed him, took care of him, and he ends up in a cave. 1 Kings 19:9. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. Meaning he wasn't just going to spend the night. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. That's important. The word of the Lord found him. The word of the Lord came unto him, and he said unto him, the voice of the Lord said unto Elijah, what doest thou here, Elijah? So God knew who he was, spoke his name, asked him a very direct question. What in the world are you doing here in light of what you have just accomplished in the previous chapter of your life? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. This sounds like a very self-righteous individual who God used in a mighty powerful way. He said, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And that was true. But now he says, I only am left. Have you ever felt that way? Like you are the only person, whether it's at work, whether it's in a government office, whether it's in your home, you feel like you're the only voice for God. Well, be careful. Because if you read this chapter, there were 7,000 who didn't bow the knee to Baal. But Elijah apparently didn't know that. He thought he was the only person standing up for God. And they seek my life, which is true, to take it away, which is true. And he said, God said to Elijah, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, so he did. And the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in an earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Have you ever been around Christians or people that just can't get enough signs and wonders? Lord, show me, or I won't believe you. Well, this is pretty significant. Earthquakes, thunder, fire. Then it says, and after the fire, still small voice. Now we could continue reading. I know you're familiar with the passage of Scripture. But in this passage of Scripture, the voice of the Lord was a whisper. I've told you about my incredible office I have in the basement where I can hear everything going on in the house. I can hear the cat's paws walking on the floor above me. How many decibels is a whisper? Not many. Not many. So you could miss it. In light of this story, there was a lot of collateral noise. But I have to believe that at some point, God stilled the noise so that he could focus on the whisper. Next slide. John chapter number 12, if you turn there, we have the voice of God not walking, not whispering, but the voice of God thundering. John chapter 12, verse 27, now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. This is Jesus talking. He's getting ready. This is the last week of his earthly life. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven saying, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. God the Father speaking from heaven. And the people therefore that stood by and heard it said that it thundered. Others said, an angel spake to him. So we have the voice of God walking. We have the voice of God whispering. We have the voice of God thundering. Turn in your Bible, Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Jesus was crucified. Jesus has risen from the grave. We talked about that on Resurrection Sunday. And all the people that were involved in that Sunday morning revelation. Part of that Sunday day revelation were these two guys walking on the road to Emmaus. Jerusalem is on the west hill. The Kidron Valley goes through between the Mount of Olives and Jerusalem. On the Mount of Olives, if you go northeast, you'll see the Garden of Gethsemane. Not far from there is Golgotha, which is just outside one of the gates of the old city of Jerusalem. And there's a road, the Jericho Road, which will go straight east downhill to Jericho. And then about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem is the road to Emmaus, which isn't very far. Luke chapter 24. And behold, two of them, verse 13, went that same day to a village called Emmaus. There's an Emmaus, Pennsylvania, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't recognize him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. What a setup. Then he said unto them, oh fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. This evening, we're going to look at the phrase, search the scriptures. Verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were, what class? Now, you mean to tell me they'd been walking all that time with closed eyes? No. Their eyes were open, or they would have fallen and hurt themselves. I was on my way to Batavia, driving, and I had my cell phone on speakerphone, and I was talking with one of our RU leaders and his wife, and I said, Bob, I'd pray for you guys right now, but I'm driving, and it wouldn't be wise for me to close my eyes and pray. He said, Pastor, this is a good idea. Don't do that. Their eyes were opened. This is a spiritual application. And they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Man, we had him right here. We didn't know it. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? So we have the voice of God walking. The voice of God. What's next? Oh boy, this is really sad. Whispering. Third, the voice of God thundering. And now the voice of God burning. What do you have in your lap? The Bible. The voice of God could be walking, thundering, whispering, burning. Next slide. I need to warn you of some things, because this particular topic, this ever-speaking voice, has been and could be misused for ungodly purposes, or what we might even call unbiblical purposes. First, warning that the ever-speaking voice of God does not imply, suggest, or teach what some would say would be extra-biblical revelation. How many of you have ever heard that phrase before? Extra biblical revelation. Meaning today's prophecy or prophecy is being spoken outside the will of God and the word of God. Acts chapter 2, verse 17 and 18. If you turn there, Acts chapter 2. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. It's imperative and important to know what books of the Bible are for and what their basic purpose is. The book of Acts is not a doctrinal book. The book of Acts is a history book. So we have historical events taking place in the book of Acts that builds the bridge from the life of Christ to the life of the church. So therefore, if you go for your doctrine in the book of Acts, you will be, one, frustrated. Two, you'll be wrong. And three, you'll be ignorant. So here's a passage in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is what we would call Pentecost. The people in Acts chapter 2 are Jews. They're from all over the world. They're Jews convening in Jerusalem for their feast. So Peter and the disciples stand and preach the word of God to a bunch of people that speak 16 different languages easy. They hear the word of God in their own language. They didn't preach to them in 16 different languages simultaneously. Can you do that? Not even Edie can do that, who's translating Spanish as I speak. So Acts chapter 2 has nothing to do with tongues the way the world teaches it. If you can speak another language other than English, praise God for you. You're bilingual or trilingual or Condoleezza Rice, or you are these people that are gifted with other languages. That's what a biblical definition of tongues means, that you can speak other languages. These people heard Hebrew in their language. That was the miracle. That was the miracle. So we have out there, we have extra-biblical revelation being used in a lot of different ways. We have the book called The Shack. We have The Final Quest. We have Kenneth Hagin with the prosperity gospel. We have liberal churches such as United Church of Christ. We have all kind of phrases out there. We have the Mormons claim that Joseph Smith had a special revelation given to him by an angel on golden plates, now called the Book of Mormon. And we could spend a lot of time looking at this particular issue, how people think they get extra biblical revelation. And they claim it's the voice of God speaking. I'm not suggesting that the voice of God is not. That's why I'm preaching this entire message. The voice of God is speaking. But if you think that God is going to start a religion through you, you're mistaken. And if you're going to follow somebody who says so, Doris Day just passed away. Have you ever heard Doris Day passed away? She was a Christian Scientist. Therefore, no burial, no tombstone, no this, that, or the other thing. Why? She didn't believe she died. And they teach, they just kind of go into another realm. That's heresy. But that's what she believed, and that's what she told everybody. In the Berean Research Institute, let me just quote one paragraph, if I could, in light of this particular category. There's a dangerous trend in the charismatic movement in seeking after revelations and prophetic utterances and tongues and interpretations apart from the written scripture. And extremes usually start with slight deviations. We must ask ourselves, where will this end? Many cults have gone this route, such as the Mormons, Christian Science, the Children of God, the Moonies, and also the Roman Catholic Church. Remember this, the great Protestant thesis is, and always has been, that the Holy Spirit speaks through the Scriptures. Regarding new revelations, someone has said, if it's true, it isn't new. And if it's new, it isn't true. I'll go back over that again. If it's true, it isn't new. And if it's new, it isn't true. Got it? Next. That additional scriptures or books are being added to the Bible. That things are being written or whatever this means. Well, in Revelation chapter 22, if you have your Bible, would you turn there? This would be the definitive passage here. There are others that we could go to. But God is not adding to his word. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. Verse 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You don't have to turn to Proverbs 30, but let me just quote verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Okay, next warning. Warning number 3. There's the warning of what we would call mistranslations. Mistranslations. The NIV changes Lucifer's name in Isaiah 14 to the morning star. The King James says in Isaiah 14, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? Verse 15, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, the sides of the pit. The NIV says in verse 12, how are you fallen from heaven, O morning star? Do you know who the morning star is in my Bible? Jesus. What that means is the NIV just equated the Lord Jesus Christ from the book of Revelation to Lucifer. Subtle? Yes. Dangerous? Absolutely. Does it matter? Matters to me. John chapter 1, we looked at this when we were looking at our passage of scripture on the Logos. The New World Translation says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God, small g. So the Jehovah's Witnesses, instead of changing a word, they add a word. Actually, they add one letter. Ah. A. They add one letter. They change the entire deity of Christ to fit their perverted theology. Now, we have to pray for them. There might be some converted JWs here. I'll never forget my first Bible study Cindy and I went to. The guy that had every question was a converted Jehovah's Witness. I thought, where in the world did this guy learn all this stuff? How can he be newly saved? Come to find out, everything, single thing he taught, now he had to re-question. So he was on a quest for the truth. So should we all be? Third. 1 Timothy 1:17. Turn there. 1 Timothy 1:17 in your Bible. I don't, as you know, I don't harp on the translation issue. I don't beat this drum every week. I just let the Word of God speak for itself because it does. So if you're coming across portions of Scripture where words are changed with the translation you have in your lap, it should give you cause to consider, I wonder if what I have is accurate. 1 Timothy 1:17, Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. First Timothy 1:17, NIV says, Now the King, to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Must be God is not wise. Because they took the word out. Next slide. The ever-speaking voice. Then there's the warning of misinterpretation. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. We'll just look at two glaring reminders that if we don't have the Word of God and the voice of God isn't teaching us by the Spirit of God, we can misinterpret the Bible in a terrible way. Galatians chapter 1, Paul is addressing the churches in this province. Like the province of Ontario, the province of Galatia had a number of churches there. Galatians 1, Paul is going to address what we would call the biblical definition of legalism. That means salvation is faith plus works. That's legalism. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll be done in 3 minutes. We, just like the early church, are guilty of formulating and creating our own personal Jesus. One that is fashioned after our own beliefs, our own feelings, and our own cultural norms. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. So be careful about another Jesus. Be careful about another spirit. Be careful about another gospel. Because as we talk about the ever-speaking voice, there are things out there that want to destroy you and the church. So, Eric, could you give me my next slide? Let's wrap this up. What about your personal Bible reading? How does the ever-speaking voice impact or affect your personal Bible reading in any particular way? I'm going to read a paragraph by Tozier in The Pursuit of God. He said, it is important that we get still to wait on God. And it is best that we get alone, preferably with our Bible outspread before us. Then if we will, we may draw near to God and begin to hear him speak to us in our hearts. I think for the average person, the progression will be something like this. First, a sound as if a presence walking in the garden. than a voice, more intelligible, but still far from clear. Then a happy moment when the Spirit of God begins to illuminate the Scriptures, and that which had been only a sound, or at best a voice, now becomes an intelligible word, warm and intimate and clear as the word of a dear friend. Then will come life and light, and best of all, ability to see and rest and embrace Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of all. What about your Bible reading? Is the voice of God speaking to you through the Word of God? Is the Spirit of God making any impact in your life as you read the Bible? Trust me, it's not God's problem. I love you as your pastor. It's not God's problem. It's not the Bible's problem. It's our problem. David said something like, I seek for the word of God like a deer pants after the water brooks. When a deer is hungry and thirsty, they smell where the water is and they go after it. It doesn't take a very theological prayer to go before the word of God and say, Lord, would you speak to me? I need you desperately. It doesn't take much. Next slide. What about in witnessing? We talked about it at RU Friday night. How could we use our personal witness without the Bible to tell somebody about the Lord? And people were talking about sharing how their personal testimony, their walk with the Lord, was just as important in their witness as the words that they chose. Meaning, if your life doesn't match your lip, whatever you say might not matter. Does that make sense? If you are a walking hypocrite and you bring out a tract and you're going to tell somebody how to accept Christ as their Savior, they're probably going to look at you and say, oh, like you've done? So you want me to model my life after yours? I don't think so. So this is important, not only for our personal Bible reading, but also for our witnessing. Next slide. What about the voice of God in light of your obedience, or in light of God's plan for you? What is God's plan for you? Oh, I don't know. You should know. It's right in the Bible. We have a discipleship program. Jess is going through it now with Charlene. We have an entire lesson called The Will of God. It's not a secret. It's not hidden. There are 10 wills of God. One, you need to know what the will of God is. Well, I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. The will of God is revealed in the Word of God. Now, the plan of God for your life is different, like your fingerprints. But the will of God is the same for every believer. The will of God is to be thankful in all things. The will of God is to be this. The will of God is to be this. But the plan of God for your life depends upon the voice of God speaking to you through the Word of God and the Spirit of God. What are you doing that God's asking you to do? I am in the right place at the right time now. Are you doing what God's asked me to do? Are you? Well, I don't know. We can help you with that. The Christian life is a journey. I get that. Are you willing to at least say, Lord, put me on the journey so that I'm walking in the path you'd have me to walk in. Next slide. Has the Word of God whispered to you lately? Has the Spirit of God burned into your heart some light or truth that you cannot ignore or run from? Has the message this morning spoken to you individually about some area of your life that needs to be addressed? Last slide. The real question is, what will you decide? What will you do with what you've received and heard? Hearing is the first step. Hearing without doing will most likely be your undoing. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that the Word of God and the Spirit of God were clear. So in the next few moments, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm asking that those that need to pray privately will do so. Those that might need to do more than that, God might be asking you to join the church. We have a card up here to make your wishes known. You might have recently gotten saved, and you need to confess that salvation in front of the church. You can do that this morning. Perhaps you need to be baptized. Perhaps God's calling you to the mission field. Maybe God's calling you to be a Christian corporate person. Maybe God's calling you to be a witness in your neighborhood, at your workplace, on your campus. Is the voice of God walking amongst us this morning? Is the voice of God whispering to you today? Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Is the Word of God and the Spirit of God convicting you in your heart? Is it burning? If any of those are true, I trust God would give you the Spirit of obedience. Say, Lord, here I am, use me, as Isaiah said. Here am I, send me. Send me to the altar. Send me to my neighbor. Send me to Mongolia, Lord, wherever you have me to go, I'll go. And do whatever you'd have me to do. Lord, hear our prayer. We pray individually and corporately this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me if you would. John's going to lead us in a hymn of invitation. The words will be on the screen. Decision cards are up here if anybody needs to make one.